Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
Discover over 100 episodes of Bartholomew Town on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
A lot of our strategy in the past months has been trying to get Governor Raimondo to take a stand on the right side of history and make a decision between the fossil fuel billionaires who have donated to her campaigns in the past and our generation's future.
Hi, folks. Welcome in to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, a conversation with members of the Sunrise Movement. And coming up in a matter of moments, we'll hear from Emma Boughton and Michael Kearney. Now, they're members of Sunrise Providence, which have been pretty busy lately. Sunrise, one of the leading climate change activist voices in the country right now with different chapters around the country. The Providence chapter responsible for some action at the State House. And you may remember that recent Boston Globe event that was disrupted, the one that Governor Raimondo was at. Well, that was disrupted by Sunrise Movement. And most recently, the climate strike in downtown Providence. Now, I was there and I saw at least 500, maybe closer to 1,000 people, the vast majority of which were, I don't know, under the age of 25. So this is a singular issue that this group is pushing, climate change, and they're seeking Governor Raimondo here in Rhode Island to sign a pledge that she will not accept any contributions from the fossil fuel industry, something that the governor has not signed yet. Now, she goes back and forth denying that she does, in fact, accept these contributions. So we'll break all that down with Emma Boughton and Michael Kearney, hear all about Sunrise, their activities here in Rhode Island, in a matter of moments here on Bartholomew Town. All right, exciting news to share. Coming up next week, it's the 2020 podcast here on Bartholomew Town. Now, this will be a recurring series leading up to Election Day in 2020, focusing in on, yeah, you guessed it, the presidential election. I'll be joined by Brown University Political Science Chair Dr. Wendy Schiller as we break down everything about the upcoming election. Look for the first installment next week right here on Bartholomew Town. And a great way that you can support the pod is to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you're listening right now. Okay, without further ado, let's get right to it with Emma Boughton and Michael Kearney of the Sunrise Movement.
My name is Emma Boughton, and I live in Providence. I'm 22 years old, and I would say that, certainly a lot of our strategy in the past months has been trying to get Governor Raimondo to take a stand on the right side of history and make a decision between the fossil fuel billionaires who have donated to her campaigns in the past and our generation's future. And I think we've seen pretty clearly from her actions over the past few months that she has chosen to side with those wealthy individuals over a livable future for Rhode Islanders.
Any further thoughts on that, just the governor and where she sits practically, regardless of any sort of messaging, where she actually sits on this issue?
Yeah. So my name is Michael. I live in Providence. I am 22. And the way I feel about it is, you know, Governor Raimondo is obviously a very smart woman. And she's been able to kind of skate by saying, oh, you know, I don't take money from fossil fuel executives, do I? And the bottom line is she knows, and, you know, we know that she knows. And at this point, we've kind of reached this climax where, you know, with the climate strike on Friday, this has become a large issue in Rhode Island, and she can't deny it anymore. And we've reached this point where she has refused to, you know, reject fossil fuel billionaire money, and she can't deny any longer that she does take it.
All right, so the climate strike, there are some news reports were 500, Channel 10 said 1,000. There are a lot of people there. And the energy was, it felt like a positive environment to be in. You know, it was a progressive space in that ideas were coming out of it. It wasn't like an anger pit. Does that summarize your movement as a whole? It's, you know, organized disruption, but, you know, you're not trying to injure people or disrupt, you know, the system to such an extent that, you know, the world turns upside down. It's really focused on an issue, I guess.
Yeah, I think I'd say that one of the reasons why I really appreciate working with Sunrise and think I found a real community in joining the movement was, just feeling before I started organizing with Sunrise, a lot of despair about the climate crisis and feeling like I really didn't know how to act. I study environmental science in college, and I feel like class after class, I would hear all of these problems raised, and classes would end and there would be really no path forward. And I think it took finding Sunrise and finding a group of young people who have this kind of tenacity and hope, but also a really strategic plan to win. It doesn't feel like it's just kind of these young people with idealistic visions, as I think some may kind of try and characterize us as. But in fact, we have really like intentional strategies and see a path forward in our fight for a Green New Deal that I think provides a lot of inspiration for me at the same time that it feels like it provides a really concrete path forward.
Right. And can you talk about the platform, which is one thing when I first encountered Sunrise was at the State House, you know, the chanting, matching t-shirts, you know, unified passion. That was something that rarely is, you know, has been well utilized here in Rhode Island. The closest thing I could think of was the 2A movement, you know, and their yellow shirts, how they would rally, but nowhere near the energy that you were providing or the focus. Can you talk about the infrastructure and the training and everything that goes into this to push back on those who would say that this is some sort of, you know, chance to get out of school and, you know, push a broad agenda?
Yeah. So, you know, that is something that I think is one of Sunrise's greatest strengths, is that we have a, you know, a clear identity. We have a strong message. And, you know, that is not powered by, you know, outside money. It's not powered by paid workers. We're all volunteers here in Rhode Island. You know, like we had a field program last summer. But beyond that, this is all work that we're doing outside of our day jobs. And I think that really just speaks to the passion and the fear that a lot of young people in Rhode Island have about our future, that we are dedicating so much of our time and so much of our energy to this cause. And really like that is one of our great strengths, because it gives us the power to do things like put on a climate strike of the size that we had on Friday.
Yeah, I was going to add, I think if you want a concrete example of that, the three art builds that we put on leading up to the climate strike were just kind of this amazing show of, cohesive organizing. And I give a lot of credit to our art lead, Madison, who put so much work into designing the visual strategy behind the strike on Friday and coordinating a massive team of volunteers to paint all the banners that you saw and hand signs. And I think totally, as Michael was saying, it's a lot of work and love being poured into this by volunteers.
Yeah, it's very noticeable. It stands out to me, you know, as someone who was in New York during Occupy Wall Street and seeing that very quickly devolve into mostly trustafarians with djembes that really had no idea what they were actually up against by after a certain point. The initial spark was there and it was tough to sustain, but it feels like you've put the pieces in place to remind everyone time and time again why you're actually there. Do you see that in new members as people come in, that it's, you know, the excitement is, you know, kind of reinvigorating the older members as new people come in and the movement grows and it stays focused? Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think for sure.
Absolutely. You know, I did outreach to people who came to the climate strike on Friday, and maybe this was their first Sunrise event. And the message that I was hearing over and over from people was, you know, like, this is something that I'm really scared about. I want a future, but I don't know how to get involved. You know, the people who should be in charge, my teachers, you know, our elected officials, they're not taking action. And I'm not getting any direction from them on how to solve this crisis. And so when I came to the climate strike, I felt empowered. But like, what do I do now? And so Sunrise is, you know, Sunrise is a way that people can get involved and that they can do something constructive to help solve the crisis. And like getting involved with Sunrise is a really big next step for a lot of people when they feel kind of like lost in this whole crisis.
Let's talk about allies. And one thing in Rhode Island that I've tried to look at is unusual allies, you know, odd pairings. Sometimes, interestingly enough, Republicans here on certain issues tend to line up more with progressives than mainstream Democrats. One area is environmental concerns. The mechanics are a lot different, but I find representatives in the Northwest who are really concerned about their environment and strategies to improve that. Have you been able to bring in people into your tent who are, you know, atypical of the majority of the group? Is that something you've been able to build here in Rhode Island?
I think certainly in trying to build like a mass movement, we are working to kind of bring in any young folks who are feeling concerned for their futures. And I think that that can come from a lot of different angles. Certainly, I think in our outreach, we are working to reach people in different parts of the state who are similarly feeling that fear.
Right. Because I feel like this issue has the chance to be certainly on its, you know, a basic format. It's a progressive an issue driven by progressive ideology, no question about it. At the same time, there are elements of other aspects of our state and political beliefs that I feel like can contribute to this getting done as in a real through both political pressure, but much like the Reproductive Health Care Act here, where, you know, you have enough people who are unusual allies joining you that it moves forward. I hope that people out there, you know, I guess this is a rant, but I hope people out there are open-minded enough, even if they don't identify themselves as progressive generally, that on this issue, they would have, it seems to me like a very simple thing to get behind.
But. Yeah. You know, one of the realities of the climate crisis is that it will affect everyone, no matter if you believe in it or not. And I think that is... You know, that is something that has drawn people into the climate movement, even if they have differing political beliefs. And that's another reason why, you know, legislation like the Green New Deal is popular across America. You hear a lot of pushback from Republicans at the national level that, you know, this is some sort of like socialist pipe dream, when that's not what the Green New Deal is, and it's not true. You know, like there was a poll earlier this year that showed that 68% of Americans support Green New Deal legislation and only 28% oppose. And that support is strongest in coastal Northeast states. And, you know, that goes to show that people are concerned about this beyond a partisan issue. This is something that people are really worried about.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the national level. You did a great job, Michael, of disrupting Mr. Biden, Vice President Biden, putting him on the spot, you know, which is, that's got to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not just up to the media. It's up to citizens to do that as well. So what was your reaction to that? I felt like, you know, he could have easily given you an answer right there and chose not to.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason why I confronted Biden was because he had made a commitment earlier this year that he would not accept any corporate money or money from PACs. And beyond that, he had made a commitment not to accept any money from fossil fuel executives or lobbyists. But recently he announced that he was going to start accepting corporate money. And I was frustrated because, you know, this had been announced over a month ago and no one was holding him accountable. And I feel like as a citizen, I need to hold, you know, the people who might represent me accountable, which is why, you know, I felt the need to confront him. And I was pretty frustrated that he went back on his pledge.
Let's go zoom back down into Rhode Island. In terms of other officers in the state or anybody inside the state house now, has anyone else besides the governor reached out to you and offered support at any level? Are there any faces that we can associate with your movement? Has anyone been either bold enough or smart enough, depending on your perspective, to come out and essentially endorse you?
So we have 22 members of the House and 4 senators who have signed on to the No Fossil Fuel Money Pledge, which I think is an important sign of showing solidarity with our movement. And actually, our next campaign that we're really going to be focusing on starting in January is pressuring all state reps and senators to sign on to the Green New Deal Pledge to commit to doing everything in their power to enacting a Green New Deal for Rhode Island. And so I think that, we're going to be putting our legislators to the test and seeing who is with our generation and who we're going to need to vote out of office in 2020, because we're going to be launching a massive field program starting this summer in order to try and elect Green New Deal champions and vote out people who are blocking progress.
So you're going to get involved as a political factor for 2020 General Assembly races. People can expect to see, should the Speaker of the House be worried? Should District 15 be expecting a presence, you know, from Sunrise?
I think still to be determined. We're going to be rolling out our endorsement process early this winter. And I certainly think that we have felt very frustrated with the speaker and the lack of environmental legislation that's gotten through the State House in recent years. And we're looking to create massive change.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how certain people react to that. You know what I mean? With the pressure, quote unquote, to sign. Because there's people who talk about this stuff, as we know, as we, you know, sort of one of the tenets and reasons for your activation, but who's actually on board with it. Can you kind of lay out some of the specific details of what a Rhode Island of the future would look like, taking a smarter energy approach? Not necessarily even the Green New Deal as it's laid out today, but after it goes through a massaging process to get done, what would you accept 20 years from now? Something like that.
You know, I think something that we need to start with today is no new fossil fuel infrastructure in Rhode Island. You know, recently the Burrillville power plant died. We were really happy to hear that. But right now there is the liquefied natural gas plant that is planned to be built in Providence. And, you know, if we have any hope of averting this crisis, not only do we need to, you know, start transitioning to renewable energy right now, we have to stop investing in fossil fuels. We have to stop building fossil fuel infrastructure. And that's like really a key thing that needs to happen now, and that will help shape the Rhode Island of the future if we can redirect those resources into renewable energy.
And I would also just add, I think that one of the great things about the Green New Deal is that it's not concrete policy right now. And instead, it's just kind of this vision for the equitable and just society that we need, and kind of laying out the framework that we're not going to be able to combat the climate crisis without also combating racial inequality, economic inequality. I think that kind of governing agenda is really inspiring for the Rhode Island that I'd like to see in 20 years. And I think oftentimes what gets people stuck and feeling afraid to take action is not knowing exactly every policy detail. And so I think oftentimes Sunrise is coming from this perspective of we have the moral clarity of knowing what needs to be done, and we are going to be holding our elected officials accountable to making that happen.
Do you have any candidates for president that Sunrise maybe hasn't endorsed, but that you're, you know, excited about? Do you see anything positive happening right now at the state or national level?
Yeah. So Sunrise National is going to have an endorsement process next year where we will decide if we will endorse a presidential candidate and then which one to endorse. At the state level here in Rhode Island, we're really focusing on, you know, more like what we can do at the state level with our assembly and with the Senate. That's really more where we're focused, I would say.
And I would also just point listeners to the scorecard that Sunrise Movement just released at a national level to rank different presidential candidates' climate plans. They have developed a really comprehensive strategy for assessing those plans, and recently just released their first 3 rankings. And on the criteria that they developed, they ranked Bernie Sanders' climate plan with an A-, down to Joe Biden's of an F-. So kind of lays out the full range of climate plans that we see on the table in the presidential election.
All right. Last question. The media here in Rhode Island, do you feel like you're starting to build relationships? Do you feel like, I mean, you're being taken seriously as a force, so to speak? Do you feel like you're starting to gain any kind of traction there in terms of reaching the average households of Rhode Islanders?
I would say that's actually one of the biggest areas where we've made progress over the course of this fall. So when we did a massive action on September 9th, we really struggled to get media coverage for it, to be quite honest. And I think going back to this strike on Friday, it was remarkable to be getting calls from reporters left and right. And I think that we've seen pretty positive portrayals of us in the mainstream media, which I think is really exciting for helping us to get our message out beyond the current circles of folks who are already involved in organizing with Sunrise.
Yeah, I would agree with the Boston Globe action, where the story was not spun in a negative light by the Globe. You know, as it was their event, and it was, I think it enhanced the event tremendously. I think, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways that unfolded the way it did. There wasn't a meltdown, you know, and some kind of call to security or something like that. You know, so I think that, yeah, it's interesting that those, another potentially unlikely ally, you know, not saying that the media in Rhode Island is like all in on Sunrise or anything like that, but being able to reach the average Rhode Islanders, that's always my question, is does someone like, my mom doesn't live here anymore, but when, you know, I grew up here, so someone is just driving around thinking about these things, who sees Les Turtles and understands there's changes at the seawall in South Kingstown and knows something's going on, but how can they connect those dots? Because I feel like there's so many more people who would be behind this movement that just don't even realize they're already behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would recommend for any of your viewers to find us on social media. You know, we have a lot of updates about how people can get involved, what Sunrise is doing, on like our Twitter and our Facebook and our Instagram. And you know, that is one of the best ways to connect with Sunrise and make sure that you're staying involved.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to spend some time together here on the pod. Remember, new episodes every Tuesday and Friday, and there's over 150 episodes waiting for you on ripodcast.com, bartholomewtown.com, or your preferred app. Until next time, I'm Bill Bartholomew. We'll talk soon.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.